everyone, and welcome to another episode of Freedom of Good Home, a podcast all about classifieds. My name is Michael Hing, and joining me is a man who I haven't seen in real life now in about 16 weeks. It's Ben Jenkins. Hello, Ben.
That's really true, but we do this so often, and I get to see your beautiful smiling face, so it feels like I've seen you every fucking week.
Yeah, in many ways we have. But Ben, you are towards the third week, the end of the third week of your what you called cuckoo bananas leave.
Yes.
So as you reflect on the last 3 weeks, Ben, what have been the major projects you have achieved?
I started. Let's bring in our guest, and I'll tell you what I've been doing with my 3 weeks of leave.
Great. You would know her as a stand-up comedian, as the podcast host of Big Natural Talents, an incredibly funny podcast I was recently a guest on. You would also know her for her star turns on Question Everything on the ABC, and an upcoming episode of a wonderful show on the SBS called Celebrity Letters and Numbers. It's Concetta Caristo.
Oh, hi, boys. Hello.
Hello, Chet. How are you doing? How did you find doing Letters and Numbers?
Oh, my God. Well, it was actually my first ever TV panel show. It was even before Question Everything, and I was so, so terrified, and the stakes were so high in my brain. But, like, looking back, getting to do a couple of episodes, it was, like, the best. Like, so fun. I have the fondest memories, even though I was terrified a lot of the time. So excited to see it.
They all blend in for me, but didn't something crazy happen during one of your episodes?
Oh, I had to do diarrhea in the middle? Is that what we're talking about?
I forgot.
Yeah, now maybe. The only person I revealed it to was the host, Mr. Hing, who was like, "How are you? What's going on?"
Now, I'm not familiar. Well, I thought I was familiar with the format of Letters and Numbers.
No, there is a diarrhea break.
There's a diarrhea break. Yeah.
Is it who can do the most diarrhea or who can do the least diarrhea?
There's different categories.
Okay. Yeah, but it's not about quantity of diarrhea, okay? It's quality of diarrhea. We're not that kind of show, okay?
Sure.
But I don't even know. Is that the crazy thing you mean? Or did like a light break or someone?
Chet, it does sound like that might be the crazy thing he meant.
I think there was a moment, I can't remember exactly, and I imagine the cameras weren't rolling at this point, but I think something happened, like you said to me, you like leant over and whispered to me like, "Hang, I have to do diarrhea." And then I just was in like TV mode and was like, "Hey guys, can we get someone to take Chet to the bathroom because she's got to do a diarrhea?"
Yeah. And the whole set clapped. They erupted in applause. They like carried me on their shoulders.
Very gingerly. Very gingerly.
It was very dangerous. Yes, yeah, some may have slipped out. Sorry.
Do you know one of the things about being on a set that it took me years to learn, Chet, and I feel like you've had a crash course in this, is you are always mic'd. And like, no matter how softly you speak, it's not just like, even though it's not, because I think because, you know, you come from a stand-up live background, you have this idea that like a microphone isn't on unless it's making your voice louder.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But that's not true. Mm. That's certainly not true.
Yes.
And like, it's not just that like, you know, Michael might be able to hear it. There's a whole control room on the other side of the building that can hear you.
There's a whole bunch of freaks who are like obsessed. That's so true. You're right. Because from the stand-up world, I'm only mic'd if I'm holding a beautiful baton microphone. But the one thing that I realized that I did like pat myself on the shoulder was when I went to the bathroom, when I went to the toilet, I was like rushing them. I was like making so they couldn't hear anything. I was like la 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 singing. I was like playing YouTube videos really loud because I thought of them. I was like, I'm not going to turn this off. They always get mad when you turn off your mic because then they have to like reset it. So I just like dealt with that. So they didn't.
I think if somebody said, if I was a sound operator and somebody said, hey, I need to go do a big diarrhea. I think I would be smashing that MF mute button.
They're like, turn it up, boys.
Meanwhile, I just also love the idea of everyone in the sound truck being like, okay, so she has to listen to Nyan Cat to go. Is that how she works? Is that... Well, Concetta, it is so lovely to have you here. How have you been? We were just talking before we turned on these mics that Sydney, where we live, the three of us live in the beautiful harbourside city of Sydney, Australia, that we are about to re-enter society after 4 million weeks in lockdown. Are you anticipating weirdness, or how are you feeling?
Well, yes, I sort of, in our pre-pod chatter, I sort of opened with vulnerability, and I was saying that I'm really quite, my social anxiety is a little bit, it just feels like, okay, this is what I always want to say. Your dream, my dream is for someone who like struggles finishing things and like paying attention. If I had the power to pause the life, to pause the world, and I could just like catch up on my tax and like finish everything in my to-do list and then press play, and then I would feel in my head like with less anxiety. It feels like
talking,
I got that three.
You're talking about an Adam Sandler's Click scenario.
Yes.
Wait, wasn't that Hitch? Wasn't it Hitch?
No, it wasn't fucking Hitch.
Oh my God, you psycho. Hitch is all about bringing people together, and it's Will Smith.
Don't worry.
Sorry.
You get used to this. It's fine.
So it feels like I've had the 3 months where in my brain I'm like,
everything
needs
paused.
To be, everything paused, everything needs to be perfect. And I'm like, no, I'm not perfect. No, I actually have, I haven't done my tax. Don't, like, let's actually make lockdown go till December. Like, please. And then when I'm ready, let's go. So I have a bit of that anxiety of like, don't feel ready. And on top of social gatherings, and I'm pasty as fork, and I'm like, ugh. So anyways, it's very negative. But at the same time, I think that when things start to open up, I will realize what I was missing, you know?
Well, I went on a picnic. I've been doing a little bit of picnicking, and I went on a picnic with some friends yesterday. And I was
I didn't get an invite then.
Sorry? No, I said with friends.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I was there, Hing. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, it was great. Chet was real pasty.
I
kept going on about her taxes.
Everyone was staring at me. I knew it.
But I do got to say, I did not realize how much the act of just sitting around with people face to face was what was required. It's crazy. It seems like such a small thing.
As in, human contact was good or bad for you?
Great. It was it was real, real great. Although we were at the park, down the road from our house, big park. Lots of people picnicking, everybody in the picnic spirit, and a lot of there was a couple there, and there are these gigantic Moreton Bay figs. You guys know what a Moreton Bay fig is? Enormous tree.
They're sort of big, veiny trees.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably an unpleasant way of describing them. They're sort of, they're very much in the sort of Avatar mother tree, sort of enormous, majestic tree with those huge roots spreading out and that enormous canopy. And they're very nice, and a lot of people get photos in front of them. And we were there, and there was a couple there taking a lot of like selfies in front of this tree. And my son Chet, who's two and a bit, he's three in January. We've just got him toilet trained, which is huge for us.
Oh yeah!
You ask me, Hing, what we've been doing, what I've been doing for the past 3 weeks. That's been a huge part of it.
That's a great get for you.
Huge get for the huge get for the household. but Mo wandered off from the picnic rug and just was like curiously looking at these people who were taking these selfies, and he was maybe like 3 feet from them, and they were like, oh, cute, a toddler. And then he just got his dick out. He just got his dick right out in front of him.
Oh, oh no. Did he have to go wee wee or something?
Well, charitably he did, but it's also possible that he's just really getting used to being able to sort of get his junk out, because when he had a nappy, he couldn't do that.
Oh, it's freedom. Right. Okay.
Such a man.
Yeah.
And no, that's so funny. I thought you were going to say he like dropped his dacks and like did a shit in front of the couple.
But no, it was great. I highly recommend it. I did have a bit of that sort of like, do I remember how to talk to people anymore sort of thing? But the thing, Chet, is that everybody's like that.
Yes.
So you're on the same, like, you're on the same, like, starting level.
I think that's true for most people, but I have a slightly different problem. I think I mentioned it before, which is that it's the band on the Titanic problem, which is trying to do a comedy show, you know, while the earth is ending, right? So while everyone else has been going
mad, you know, they weren't a comedy band on the Titanic. No, but that's true. You know, they weren't sort of like Corky and the Juice Pigs or.
It was Tripod. Tripod was. Tripod was on the Titanic. No, but like, because I've been still going to work, and I've been still going to and doing a radio show every day. And so last weekend when I went on a picnic with friends of the show, David Harmon and his wonderful partner and our wonderful friend Shakira Khan, went on a picnic with them. I found myself just doing radio at them because that was the only conversation I'd had in 3 months or whatever it's been. And I had to, like, it was like 2 minutes in. I was like, you need to stop. This isn't content. You can't just like.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That's amazing. Right? That's amazing.
That's an interesting brain malady that I think it's is specific very bad. To you.
Yeah.
Because I had a really nice chat with Lewis Hobber, who I think has been doing the exact same amount of content as you in the exact same parameters, and his brain works fine.
Of course his brain works fine. Speaking of our of brain maladies, Ben.
Yes.
Can I update you on a certain brain malady that I I'm undergoing right now?
Always.
Yeah. So listeners to the podcast might, or did we talk about this with Ben Lee, or was it on the Patreon episode? I can't remember.
We definitely talked about it with Ben Lee. He was on board.
So I mentioned this.
And I believe you talked this about it with Chet and
Lauren on their podcast as well. Yeah, no, I have been talking about this blue spinning top for many weeks now. Mm-hmm. For many, many weeks. Actually, I think it's been months. If you're just joining us, this is the first episode you're listening to. Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of freedom of good home lore to get your head around.
I've been getting these ads for a bright blue titanium spinning top that costs $400 or something, and
US dollars.
No, it was 200. Yeah, I think it's 400 US dollars, whatever it was. I want it so badly. I want it more than anything in the world, but I know that it's too expensive, so I can't get it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, earlier this week I ordered it. So
when you said you
yes, King.
When you said you couldn't get it.
Because here's the reason I was able to order it, though, Ben. Because I received an email from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation explaining to me that in 2014, they underpaid me by about $400 while I was working for the casual.
Oh, my goodness.
At Triple J and Good Game, right? So they underpaid me by a couple of $100, and then they added interest and back payments or whatever, penalties on top of that. So it ended up being about $370. So this top is now only going to cost me like $45, which is still very expensive for a top.
Well, that's not.
No, this is free money. It's free money.
Oh, my God. As someone who's like addicted to shopping, I'm like obsessed and on board with this story. And as soon as you were like, I needed it to have it, I was like, well, then you should have bought it. But to hear this is just like the universe wanted you to have it back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Hing, is that top on its way now?
The top is on its way. Now, I will say that I looked up, after I ordered the top, I then looked at some reviews of the company, and there are a lot of people complaining that they've ordered tops and have not received their top.
Oh, no.
So now my worry is that I have
been scammed.
I've been top scammed.
Scammed by Big Top. My God.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Well, yes, Michael, speaking of brain maladies, this is my last week of mental health leave. Mm-hmm. I've had a really nice time, actually. I'm very grateful that I have an employer who can just say, take some time off before you have a complete burnout.
And is that because they care about you? Or is that because they were like, oh, yeah, we don't need him?
I mean, there's a third option, which is like, we're worried he's going to shoot up the office. But no, I thought I'd be really productive, Chet, like you said about, you know, because putting everything on pause, and I've got a project that I've been working on for a long time, and I kind of have been productive with that. I wrote about 15,000 words of this thing that I've been trying to sort of get
Ben's
done.
Working on a manifesto, Conchetta.
Oh, congratulations. Sort of I can't wait to see it on the news.
Yeah. but it's, but then like once I'd done that, I was like, oh, I need to just like lie in the sun and read a book. And,
wonderful. Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing all that. I've been spending a lot of time with my toilet trained boy. and it's been great. I've been doing some video gaming, playing some video games.
Which video games have you been playing, Ben?
I've been playing Michael and Chet. I've been playing a game called, Phoenix Rising.
Oh.
Which is a Ubisoft game, which is such a clone of Zelda Breath of the Wild that it is almost comical. Sorry.
For a moment there, I thought you were talking about Phoenix Wright, Attorney at Law.
I should have been playing that game. And I've also been playing a lot of Slay the Spire, which is a game that I am, I think, medically addicted to.
Which is a problem.
Which is a big problem.
But are you feeling a bit
I'm feeling great, guys.
Yay, that's so good.
Yeah, I really needed this time. I did a lot of running, too. That's the other thing that I've been doing.
You've been doing so much running, and occasionally you'll post screenshots of your runs and your speeds to our group chat.
Yeah.
And you are running so quickly now that I'm I genuinely think you're on performance-enhancing drugs.
It's crazy. I've been doing 7K runs because that's kind of like the run near my house.
That's the loop, yeah.
That's the loop. And I've gotten down to pretty close to 4-minute kilometers on those.
But that's, yeah, so it's you're running in about a half an hour run, 25-minute to half an hour run, and that's good because that's about how long the bump of speed lasts, Ben.
So I've been doing that. I got a biopsy on a weird bit on my back.
Woo!
I'm just kicking fucking goals in this league, guys.
Are you awaiting results on the biopsy?
It was like 2 weeks ago. I figure if they wanted to tell me something, they would have told me.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right? Right? Oh, shit. Can I tell you something about when I got that biopsy?
Please.
So I went to the doctor. He had a look at it with his little instruments.
GP or a dermatologist at this point?
Dermatologist. I leapfrogged the GP.
You leapfrogged?
I said to the GP, I love my GP. I said, look, you're just going to send me to get this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just send me now.
Yeah.
Like, sure. You don't need to look at my back. My horrible back. And she was like, I am only too happy to not do this work. So...
The joke was on her because you were trying to assassinate this dermatologist and all you needed was a referral.
So once I got in the room with this guy, so he did his thing and he was this nice older gentleman and he said, I know what this is. It's just some capillary bullshit. Don't worry about it.
Capillary bullshit? That's a blood vessel, isn't it?
Yeah, he's like, you've got wackadoo capillaries in that bit of your back. It happens when you get older. I don't know.
Okay.
The doctor was like, hey, don't worry about it. But I want to say I've got my kind of trainee registrar in the hall and she needs to do some diagnostic stuff. So can she come in here and do it? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, sick, whatever. Like,
come look at my freaky back.
Yeah. I was like, everybody, more the merrier. The receptionist won't come in. And so this nice younger lady came in, looked at my back, got her little instruments out. Uh-huh. And the doctor was like, okay, so what are we seeing? And she kind of spoke through it. And you could tell she was very nervous.
She was like, it's a wackadoo capillary.
No, she was like, okay, so just looking at what we have here, this is melanoma. And
this man is going to die.
And you could tell she was also trying to do good bedside manner too. Like,
yeah.
But the doctor was like, no, it's not. And she was like, oh, okay. She's like, look again.
Does he have COVID?
and she was eventually getting really flustered. And I felt really sorry for her. I didn't want to make anything bad, so I wasn't saying anything. I was just like, but I think potentially there's a kind of person that would have hit the fucking roof.
Yeah.
About that. But she was like, eventually she was like, oh, I'm really sorry. To the doctor, she was like, I'm really sorry. I haven't read the melanoma chapter yet. And I was thinking, fuck, that must be the first fucking chapter in the skin check book.
Was it someone who'd done medical school and was doing their registrar thing? Or was it a work experience kid?
No, it was a registrar.
Yeah, right.
But that does...
It does sound like by the time you're interacting with patients, you should have at least read the books. I feel like that's... Surely the way it works is you learn all the knowledge and then you apply that knowledge in practice at a practical...
Yeah, I mean... that's one way of doing it. The other way is just going fucking guns blazing.
That's so funny.
It's
awful, but it's so funny.
I may get a call, actually, and it'll be from her saying, well, well, well.
Man, that's so fun. Well, this is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about, every kind of secondhand buying and selling of things, but also... just regular text from the internet. Yeah. Conchetta, are you someone who enjoys secondhand purchases?
Oh, yes, it is my. Yeah, because you said before that
you were hugely into shopping.
Hugely addicted. Have only just recently like started listening to money podcasts and like looking at what's going on with me, Chet. But yeah, if I'm buying, I'm on Facebook Marketplace. I've got Depop. I'm like, everything secondhand. Adore secondhand. It always feels like
Depop. Sorry.
No. Depop is just like a more fashion one for secondhand clothes. It's a bit more of like the young.
Oh, so it's like if you have nice clothes to sell, you can put them on Depop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hum recently put a bunch of my blazers, my old blazers, on Depop. And she was like, don't worry, gals love wearing like boys'
blazers.
Yes,
she's
right. They'll love them.
Now, a lot of these blazers would have been acquired for you by the SBS and the ABC. Did you declare any of that? Or
what do you mean, did I declare any of it? No, they're mine. Actually, Ben, the ones I was selling weren't from the SBS or ABC. They're actually acquired for me by the Riot Gaming Corporation, the makers of the video game League of Legends. They're a couple of years old.
Okay.
So I put them on and Hum was like, Dora, these will get snapped up by the girlies or whatever. And this is how Hum talks.
Yeah.
And they've been up there for like a week. Not a single.
Not a buy. Not
maybe, maybe some listeners want to buy them, Michael.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they want their own piece of Michael Hing memorabilia.
Well, my worry is that I was the model for them, and I worry that they looked at them and be like, ugh, yuck.
I was going to say, no offense to you, but like get Hum to style them and wear them herself, because there's
Hum's a very fashionable, very pretty lady. And you're king.
And you're a disgusting, disgusting man, Hing.
Disgusting swamp thing. So, you know what I mean? So is Hing short for swamp thing?
That's
how would Hing be swamped for short for? Oh, you think
that's a beautiful name?
It's a silent swampter.
Yeah, that's my tip, because I reckon more girls are shopping on there than guys necessarily. And if you try that angle
on the feminine body,
yeah,
interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, look, I thought it was was like, this is gonna be a slam dunk. Turns out no takers. But Conchetta, have you ever had have you got a good story about buying or selling something online?
I literally, so when you asked me that, I was like, no, everything has been perfect and seamless. And then actually, no, I remembered there is a story that I have that I actually talked about on my podcast because it was, as it was happening, it was crazy. So I was selling something on Facebook Marketplace. I was selling some shoes, some Alias May shoes. They're like one of the most expensive boots I've ever bought. And I didn't love them. What a shame. So I put them on Facebook Marketplace, and this girly messages me, and she's like, hey, I'm interested, or whatever the fuck. And then I didn't hear from her, and then I hit her up.
Do you mind telling us just what the price point of these boots is?
Oh, great, like 200-ish.
That's what you were buying them for? That's what you were selling them for?
No, I was definitely selling them at a loss for 200, and maybe I spent a bit more than 200 or some shit.
Yeah, yeah. But these are like basically they've been tried on. You didn't really like them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not worn.
Yeah. Oh,
these
worn.
Are basically mint. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, fully mint. Oh my God, wow. I didn't think there'd be so much interest in the context. Amazing. So anyways, then I was like, hey, are you keen on these? And she was like, yes. And then immediately was like, yes, sorry, I am. But like, I'm not, money isn't great at the moment, but like I'm in Byron. Would you send them to? And I was like, yeah, girly, sure. But also I just lowered the price. So now's a great time.
Yeah.
And so then she was like, great. And I was like, cool. So it's this price plus, look, $10 postage, and I'll pay the other $10 or whatever it was. And
that seems fair.
Seems fair, right?
That seems excessively fair, if I'm honest.
So right, absolutely, that's me. And she is like, cool, great. And she sends me $10. And I was like, oh, hey, just checking. You know, it's $10 plus the price of the shoes. And she was like, oh, no, I thought that I'm just sending you the $10 for the shoes, and when you send me the shoes and I see the tracking, like, then I'll pay you. And I was like, oh.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, in the lore of Facebook Marketplace, no. You pay first, and then it's a trust-based system that person goes, posts it, sends you the tracking. So already I was like, this is wackadoo bananas. And I was like, okay. And then I said, look, okay, I'd never dealt with this before. I sent this to Lauren. She was like, why don't you tell her to her to pay half now, and then she can pay the other half when you post. Great, great right. solution.
That's like a drug deal.
Absolutely.
Like a big scale drug deal. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think when you just buy like a bag or something, that's how it works. But
no, but it's more of a sort of a meeting some Hong Kong dealers.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a weapons.
Russian arms. Yeah. 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 Weapons deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally high stakes. And and so she had also been like, sorry, I'm just really scared buying online. So I was getting a lot of anxiety from her. I was getting a lot of mistrust. I was getting a lot of baggage, really.
You're doing a lot of emotional labor already just to sell these shoes. Oh, my God.
And I wanted to get rid of these fucking shoes. And so then...
Why did you hate them so much?
Because I took a risk. I hate online shopping. That's one thing I miss for all this. Uh-huh. And I took a risk. And they don't do post. They don't let you just send them back as soon as you've... open them out of the package, you're fucked. You've spent $200 for nothing.
So Chet, can I ask you to as I'd say to Mo,
yeah,
you know, have a think about how she might feel. Because have you ever had a time when you felt nervous online shopping? Like the time you just described then?
Yes, but you know what I say? I say you roll the dice every day, you know?
Okay.
Because this is what frustrates me, that I'll get to the story, is that this woman was so ready to be scammed. She was putting on me this energy that I'm going to scam her. And I was like, slut, I am the scammed. I'm never the scammer. Are you crazy? Like, I've sent money to people before they even, like, I'm sending money the second they're like, hi. I'm like, here you go. Here's my details. Whatever. Like, I'm just so trusting that people would be flawed at my system. Like, I'm horrible. I've been scammed a million times. So that was just like,
are you starting to be like, maybe I will fucking scam?
Yeah, like almost. I was like, you fucking deserve it. You're being mental. So then this is the crazy part. I was like, great, we've sorted it out. I go down to the post office. I'm like, here we go, girly. I go to the post office. I buy the package to put the shoes in, and they let you take the package and write your fucking address and all that kind of stuff. So I've bought the postage and tracking. I now message her and send her the photo of that, being like, hey, girly, here's the tracking. See, I've bought it. I'm sending it. Mm-hmm. Send me the rest of the money. What do I hear? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Crickets. I'm freaking out. I'm being like, hello, hi. It's like 4 o'clock. It's like an hour before the post office. I'm freaking out, and I don't leave. It's like I'm at, what's that thing? It's like hostage. It's a hostage situation. I'm pacing around the shopping center. I'm like, I can't leave. I've bought the postage, but I'm not going to send that if she's not going to send me the money. Am I being scammed? Then it turned around. I'm like, is she fucking scamming me? I'm on the phone to Lauren. Lauren's laughing at me. She's like, you're a psycho.
That's not that helpful. Lauren.
Lauren is a bad, naughty friend.
Yeah.
And then it's like the time is ticking. There's like a minute or so to go. And then I like finally, she's like replies for fuck's sake. And so I send them. And I send them. And then it doesn't end there. She's like, I hope I receive the boots and not a surprise. So again, she's like saying to my face, hope you haven't scammed me. And I'm like,
but also like, if you were scamming her, what would that do? Like, what would that passive aggressive, like, hope you don't scam it? Like, what scammer's like, oh man, I feel like a real goose.
Absolutely. And then to finish off this insane ordeal, when she finally receives them, she says, thank you heaps, although I'm quite disappointed about the quality. And I was like, you need to literally go fuck yourself. Like, mental, I hate you. I will never sell or buy boots online ever again. And that is the end of my story.
That's fucking wild. So wait, when you sent them to her,
yeah,
right, she was annoyed at the quality that you'd sent them in, or was she annoyed at just the broad quality? Oh, the broad quality.
And then she was like, you know, not your fault, but like, I thought it would be just like wax lyricaling about how she like wished they were better, like Alias May. And I was like, I don't fucking care. I'm not your friend. Like, no one does this. I shop all the time on Facebook Marketplace. She's done all things wrong. Like, you know, and you're too vulnerable
You got your money though?
Yeah, I got my money. But, you know, was it worth it? No, hon. No.
Have you considered spending that money going some of the way to a spinning top?
Oh my God. I would love to invest in the business with my
Because that won't get you the top end titanium blue spinning top. That's not for you. I'm ushering you, by the way, now into a sort of scungier part of the showroom. But there are a great many entry level tops made of semi precious metals, and just metals that you could enjoy. And do you know what you could do, Chet?
Yeah.
When next time you sell something online, or when you get that sort of sweet, sweet TV money that's coming your way from your TV appearances, you could come back to my spinning top, top shop and Pretty Woman me and go, big mistake, huge mistake, Mr. Spinning Top Man. Hello, Ben here again to remind you that Rode, a Sydney-based manufacturer of audio equipment, is the manufacturer of audio equipment of choice for your favorite podcast, assuming that podcast is Free of Good Home, the podcast you're listening to right now. We record the pod using a Rodecaster Pro with Rode mics and Rode leads, and it is quite honestly the best gear I've ever used to record my dumb voice for your beautiful ears. And you too can use this gear to record anything that does not directly compete with the show by going to www.rode.com. And if you're still wondering how that's spelt, it's T-H-A-T apostrophe.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back to the show.
Ben, Conchetta's story took place in the Shire of Byron Bay.
And I have...
You want to kick us off with a similar classified from there.
Well, this is an ad from Byron Bay. For our international listeners, Byron Bay is a place in northernmost New South Wales. It's the very top. It's basically on the border of New South Wales and Queensland. And it's a very affluent, but sort of... It's a hippie commune-style place that is sort of transitioning into a very affluent sort of seaside community.
Yeah, I'm sure there are parts of California, if you're in the United States, that resemble this. But also, if you're in the UK, I feel like, is it France? I don't know. What's the equivalent of the UK? I don't know.
I have no idea. But there's a lot of, like, with every passing week, there's more Hemsworths and Linen that are sort of appearing in Byron Bay.
It's sort of the Northern Rivers of New South Wales are sort of the... It's the anti-vax capital of Australia.
Yes.
And it's just hippies. It's crystals and hippies and a lot of music festivals and stuff like that.
I think you're right, but it's like, it's just gone from like not wealthy hippies to wealthy hippies. But the hippie ethos has maintained. Yeah. Yeah. But so this was posted, this was sent in to us by Mitch Doyle. Thank you, Mitch Doyle. I don't know if we've ever read out a Mitch Doyle before.
Mitch's name seems familiar.
Oh, okay. Well, he's there in the Hall of Cowards and he just got a bigger plinth. So you can upgrade that, Mitch. You can spend your coward points on a bigger plinth, or you can be moved to a nicer part of the Hall of Cowards, or you can get...
So you can't escape the Hall of Cowards.
No, absolutely not. But you could get a nicer frame for the photo that we have of you in there.
Oh, yeah.
With some, you know... Look, how you spend your coward points... And I think you got 170 coward points for this. It's totally up to you.
That makes sense. Uh-huh.
But remember that
you've gamified the entire show now.
That you have to spend them this weekend to get the coward point double bonus. And a reminder to all our listeners.
Our podcast is now just a multi-level marketing
scheme. Yeah. A reminder to our listeners that this weekend you can buy coward points from our Patreon. And with every coward point you buy, you get an extra coward point. And you can gift them to your friends. It's a funny riff, that one, because I knew it wasn't working, but I was just stuck in the gear and I couldn't get out. I couldn't pull up. That ever happened to you, Chet, where you're just in a riff rut?
Every day of my fucking life. But also, I thought this was real. I was like, oh my God. Do I have any points? What's going on?
So Ben, Mitch Doyle has written in.
Mitch Doyle. And this was posted in the Byron Bay Community Board, which I imagine is a hotbed of discussion. And this is sort of like a misconnection. I don't think the Byron Bay Community Board has sub sort of sections, but this is definitely a misconnection where somebody's seen somebody and would like to get in touch with them for romantic reasons. All right. To the man with the mask, with yellow... Sorry, I'll do that again. To the man with the mask with dripping yellow lips.
Oh.
Yeah. It's an appropriate noise you've just made there, Chet. Yeah. I met you at the reject shop. Reject shop is like a dollar bin sort of. I would like to meet the man behind the mask for a coffee date. Life is too short to be serious. That is the whole text in the Byron Bay Community Board. To the man with the mask with the dripping yellow lips, I met you at the reject shop. Would like to meet the man behind the mask for a coffee date. Life is too short to be serious.
Oh, my God. And that last line is why I do comedy, because she's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. Mm. Immediately, that first line gives me real True Detective Season 1 vibes.
Yellow lips.
Yeah. There's something in the mask and, yeah, there's something very, very unseemly about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you first read that, I, again, took it literally and was like, what? This person has yellow dripping lips. But then I reheard it and it's so on their mask, like a picture of lips. Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Did you think that too?
I thought he just had like...
Disgusting lips.
I don't know, Chet, but I didn't think that it would be what you've just hit upon, which is he's wearing one of those masks.
Yeah.
Like the Joker's face or...
But who has famously yellow lips? Does anyone have yellow lips?
I feel like someone in SpongeBob might.
Oh, probably SpongeBob.
Oh my God. What,
well, he doesn't really have lips. Okay, SpongeBob. Maybe he was wearing a SpongeBob
mask. The other
thing
could be that there was just a mask that mimicked adult jaundice.
That
could also
be the... That sounds like it.
Here. I don't know.
Well, I just think either way it sounds so ugly. Like, it sounds like the worst mask possible. I feel like we're all picturing our own version of the mask, but I'm seeing a black mask with, like, just yellow lips that have dripping yellow dots, and I'm just like, why? You know, so many masks. It's like, why that one? What is it about that for you?
Yeah, and what is it? Not only like, because what's happened here? And I guess Byron sort of makes the like both of you being in Byron sort of makes the likelihood of this slightly better. But like, what's like for somebody to want to put that on their face is like quite unlikely. And then for someone to see that person and think I want a coffee with that person seems astronomically unlikely. And for those two people to be in the same place at the same time, guys, this is love. You know what I mean? Well, this is they found love in a hopeless place, which is the reject shop in Byron Bay.
And speaking of the reject shop in Byron Bay, Ben, I've just quickly Googled some reviews of the reject shop in Byron Bay. Currently on Google, it's rated 3.2 out of 5. There's been 14 reviews.
You don't expect 5 stars from the reject shop. I mean, it's against the ethos.
No, exactly. 5 stars, you're like, what are you hiding? What are you hiding? Basically, there's about 4 or 5 of the reviews are 1 stars, and they are teenagers complaining about the fact that they've been denied access to the Byron Bay reject shop because, in their minds, they've been told that they're not allowed to enter because the shop staff are worried they're going to shoplift. Okay, so this is from Carita. 1 star. They denied us entrance because they said we would shoplift. They had no reason to do this, and we had not done anything to them. Lenny, 1 star. A friend and I walked into the store and had barely stepped through the door. We were immediately yelled at to get out of the store.
Jesus Christ!
The employee said, "Because you're teenagers. We had no bags and we're not stealing." The employee was unnecessarily rude and unreasonable.
That's not a real. That's somebody from like West Side Story. Get out of here, you lousy teens!
Marlene,
you're
going to
steal my expired minties.
They didn't let me in and told me they didn't want any shoplifters. I didn't do anything to deserve it, as I don't know, and I don't know why they did it.
Holy shit.
So a lot of people, very... So they must have a no teens.
A no teens policy.
Now, I'm not the lawyer in our marriage, but I do think that this would be outstandingly illegal.
Doesn't it feel illegal to be like no one under the age of... What? No one under the age of 21 is allowed in the shop? I don't know.
Well, crazy. I'm gonna give it a miss. Mm-hmm. I was gonna go and give the reject shop in Byron Bay a great many dollars, but now Now I'm going to give it a miss. Chet, do you have one that you'd like to share with the class?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. This one I am looking at is it okay. I'm just going to read
sent
it.
In, yeah. Do we want to say that this was sent in by Hum?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
this was sent in by Hum.
Okay.
Hum, my wonderful girlfriend who inhabits a part of the internet that I find terrifying, but she seems to find very amusing.
But sorry, is she posted this as a Facebook post?
No, she's posted this as a screenshot of a Facebook post she's seen in a group.
I see, because it like has her. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm ready to read it. Here we go.
Okay, go.
My husband and I have been married for over a year and are expecting soon. The pregnancy has been smooth sailing thus far, and I'm sure it's thanks to the previous men I've slept with. Okay. So I asked my husband if he can help me write some thank you cards for my exes and previous hookups for helping stretch my womb out for our baby. Okay. I just did the same thing with my boyfie. No. No. Okay. It's thanks to all of them, our child will have room to grow. But when I asked my husband if he could help sign the thank you cards together, he got mad and left the house. He's
typical men. This is typical
right?
Men
not
stuff.
Supporting, not listening. He's currently not responding to my texts, and I don't know what I could say to him to come back home. Also, would it have been better to send the cards myself instead of getting the hubby involved? What do?
This, okay, well, to answer the last question first. Mm-hmm. I mean, marginally better, yes. It still wouldn't have been a sane or good thing to do. Mm-hmm. But if gun to your head, you have to do it.
Yeah, then always.
If you just had a surfeit of thank you cards and you're sending them out to everyone anyway, you know, you might as well just sign them yourself. You don't need to get hubby involved.
Absolutely. I think she's asking too much of him.
I'm concerned that this is going to be one of those times where I really show my ass about my knowledge of the female anatomy. I remember once I was in a bar in Brooklyn with Anya and we were married and
congratulations.
Brag, okay.
And for some reason we were talking about her eggs or just eggs in general, like lady
her
eggs.
Or her eggs? Eggs or E-G-G-S?
E-G-G-S. We were talking about eggs in general and she was saying, it's funny, like it's crazy to think that you're born with all the eggs that you're ever going to have.
Like which a frog or something.
Which is a true thing.
Yeah.
And I was like,
what do you mean like a frog? Like a human being.
No, you know what I mean. Frogs get it. If any frogs are listening, they know.
Oh, we're huge in the frog community. But, and I said, that's really weird. Like that's an interesting thing because you can't think of a baby, like where do they go?
Filled with eggs.
And she was like, what do you mean, where do they go? I was like, well, you know, like there's so little room. And she was like, hold just one second, please. Just one moment. How big do you think eggs are? Like the eggs that get fertilized, how big do you think they are?
Great.
And I sensing that like being mocked was coming.
Yeah. Run away.
You know what I mean? I sensing that like being mocked was in the post, express post to me. Mm-hmm. I tried to get ahead of it and I lowballed it. I thought I was lowballing it. And I said, oh, about the size of a small pea.
Oh.
That's still very large, Ben.
And she informed me that they are in fact microscopic.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to think like, the size of like household eggs. That's what I was thinking as well.
Just a baby like brimming with like lumpy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this. So that's kind of scarred me in a way because she took my phone then and opened my Twitter and did her first tweet of her life and last tweet of her life, which was, hi, it's Ben's wife here. I just want you all to know that this is how big he thinks eggs are. Which is very shaming. So I'm hesitant to just run in on this one.
I want you to swing for the fences, Ben.
Like run in guns blazing like a skin hospital nurse. But I don't think that having sex stretches your womb. I don't think the womb actually enters into any part of that.
Okay. Well, look, I've always prided myself and this podcast on being able to elevate female voices. So, Conchetta, if you would like to,
yes, please tell love us to. If,
your opinion on whether or not having sex stretches out your womb.
Here's the answer, boys. As someone with a womb, if there is a big enough dick, it stretches. So what I'm getting the vibe that you too, maybe not. Maybe the womb's staying intact with your wifeys, okay?
No. You say intact?
Yeah. You got to mash it up in there if it's big enough. You know, I'm kidding. I know. Of course you're right. It's bull crap. Can I just say, I feel like this whole ad is fake. This is fake, right? This is fucking insane, crazy, cuckoo, lulu, insane bananas. I can't even, like, take it in.
Chet, I think I've got, like, a pretty good nose for when people are taking the piss on this, like, after doing this.
Yeah, of course. And what are you thinking?
And there are, like, certain ticks here that make me think that, like, there's a chance it's real.
Oh, my God. Like, I would want to sit this woman down and do, like, a 60-minute style interview with her and her partner. And I just, like, I have so many questions.
The reason I think it's real. The reason I think it's real. There's two things that I think it's real. If you were faking this. And this could be done by a very good faker. Potentially Chet Faker. who got his name from doing goofy posts online. Is that... If this was fake, you'd expect them to go into more detail about why, like what the husband said and did.
Right.
And you'd
right.
also, yeah. you also wouldn't expect the thing of her being like, should I have just done this without him? You know what I mean? I think you would have lent more into like, is he wrong about this?
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. This could be the clown prince of comedy himself, Chet Faker.
Just if you're listening overseas and you're not familiar with the singer-songwriter Chet Faker, that last riff might have been lost on you.
But that's okay. Musician... They stopped listening after the Hall of Cowards bullshit. That's fine.
But there's a musician in Australia called Chet Faker who based his punny name off the like of the jazz musician Chet Baker, and it's one of those things where it was just a funny little name. And he thought it was a funny joke name. And then he became sort of one of the most popular artists in Australia.
Yeah.
And then he was stuck with that name.
Whoa.
So then.
It's like how your radio name is King, which is short for Swamp Thing.
You're
stuck with it.
Exactly, stuck with it. But then he tried a couple of years ago to relaunch his career under his actual name, Nick Murphy.
Ew,
so
he's
like, that's I'm done right. with this bullshit name, Chet Faker. I'm now Nick Murphy. And that lasted for about a year. And then everyone's like, hey, can you go back to being Chet Faker? Oh my God.
Chet Faker's like a great name. It's so memorable and iconic. And
hey, speaking of names like that, Hing, I mentioned this to you last night and you didn't have a positive reaction. But you know the very popular Apple Plus show, Ted Lasso?
Yes, Ben, I do. No,
very popular. Wow. A lot of people are watching it.
Yep.
How's this? Ched Lasso.
Right.
And he eats cheds.
What's cheds?
they're like a cheesy biscuit, Ched.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Conchetta, you don't need to feign interest in this bit.
No.
You don't need to.
I am living and dying for this.
So imagine that. Imagine that show where he's gobbling down some cheds.
I haven't seen Ted Lasso.
I was going to say,
I should be clear, Michael. I haven't seen it either.
But I think, I can't imagine that the biscuits he eats is a relevant portion of the show at all.
You don't think he eats like tiny teddies and that's why they call him Ted?
No, I don't. Have you seen Ted Lasso?
No, but I just like would have guessed that you two had for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this about the small dick energy?
Yeah. I'm over here watching Sopranos with a big dick boyfriend, and I assume you guys are Ted Lasso and
posting gifs about it, well. Inspirational quotes.
I've started watching Sopranos.
That's great.
Sopranos, and boy, howdy, is it good?
Oh,
it is so good, man.
Mamma mia. Oh,
so
yeah.
You're an Italian. You're an Italian-Australian, Conchetta.
Absolutely.
Did you watch Sopranos the first time around?
No, she would have been like six.
Yeah, no. But right, it's so funny. My parents, I love this story, but my parents were obsessed with it. And all I remember growing up is hearing that haunting, amazing theme song like every week and just loving it. But like they never let me watch it, but I knew they were watching probably something. And yeah, for the best. And they, and you could tell, like, my parents were like addicted. They didn't usually be addicted to TV, but this was big. And it wasn't until very, very late in my life, like a couple of years ago, because we had the whole box set, that I started. And it was a bit of a, because there's a lot there to get through. There was like parts where I was like, oh my God, there's so much to remember, take in. Who's this guy? Who's this cousin? Who's dead? What's going on here? So it, I definitely need another rewatch. And then last night I made Ben watch Goodfellas for the first time. And he loved it. And then after that, we were like, what should we watch? And he was like, let's do The Sopranos. So we just watched the first ep.
God, so, it's good. You know, there's a lot of Sopranos facts that I love, but I think one of my favorite ones is David Simon, who created it. He's
David Chase.
David Chase.
David Simon is the guy who did The Wire.
And David Milch created Deadwood. So, I mean, like, the early 2000s were like a banner time for David's making TV.
Prestige David's.
So David Chase is a huge Springsteen fan. From way back, and that's and he used to go to all the concerts, and he'd see little Stevie, who plays Silvio, in the E Street Band with his bandana on, and he was always like, man, that guy just looks like such a cool mafia guy. Mm-hmm. And then when he was pitching to HBO, a show the scale of which had never been done before, and the amount of money this was going to cost and the ambition and all that, and he was pitching it to them, and they were on board, and he was like, and to play Tony Soprano, head of the Soprano crime family, will be none other than Steve Van Zandt of the E Street Band. And HBO were like, what are you talking about?
Oh my
absolutely
God.
Not.
He was gonna
And they
be
were like,
mean.
Okay, we'll play somebody else then. Fuck. But can you imagine what that show would be without Gandolfini and with that guy?
Speaking of Steve Van Zandt, this is I know it's rare for me to bring this up, for this to ever happen, but there is breaking Steve Van Zandt news.
There
this
is
week.
Steve Van Zandt news.
So this week, Steve Van Zandt came out and did an interview where he said that during the 80s, he was during the 70s, he was, quote, temporarily addicted to menage a trois. He had a threesome addiction in the 70s.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Which is funny because I can kind of see that being something that Sil would say.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's my favorite. I love him. He's like,
he's great. He's got the funniest line in the whole series.
Oh yeah.
Which is when they're doing Christopher's intervention and they're all going around saying how much Christopher's hurt them. And he just says, and I think he's reading this from a thing he's prepared earlier, where he's like, I came home one day and you were passed out and your hair was in the toilet. Disgusting. That's it.
So Conchetta, one of the things I'm interested in, and if this is at all not an okay topic of discussion, feel free to call me racist. Mm-hmm. But some Italian-American friends of mine who have watched The Sopranos are like, oh, this is kind of like, it's like some bits going to get wrong, but they're like, the dynamics and the cultural things, there are some things that they are very, very Italian-American kind of thing. You know? Mm-hmm. I want to know, as an Italian-Australian, does that same... does it match at all with your familial experience?
And I will say, Chet, in exchange for this, you get to ask King one question about Mulan.
Because when I went to... Because I spent like a couple of weeks in far north Queensland in Italian Australian community, right? Where everyone still speaks Italian and stuff.
Wow.
Far north Queensland for this immigration doc I was doing for SBS a couple of years ago, and boy howdy, did the people in that community love The Sopranos!
Aww.
Like everyone's wearing Sopranos shirts, everyone's like talking
That's
like Sopranos,
so beautiful.
But in a way that was like, ironic and like they were doing like, we're not proper. They'd be like, we're not proper mafia people, obviously, but it's fun to pretend.
Right. That's so interesting. And I love this question. Like, as soon as you said that, I was like, in a way, you're just like excited to see something you know represented, I assume. Sure. So like, it's just like, whoa, look at all these wogs on TV. Like wogs being woggy. And it's like, you know, in a way it's like idolized a little bit, even though it's insane because it's like the mafia and they're doing horrible things. But no, totally. Every time I watch it, I feel, even the Goodfellas, like there's parts that resonate with me in terms of the hierarchy with like the parents and the father and like, I don't know. There's like lots of stuff that I can relate to. How important family is, and the coming together for dinner every week, and then the nonna being this, and there's so many things that I'm like, oh my god, I relate to that. I relate to that. Obviously not the like mafia part, but then there's definitely things that I'm like, I've never said, we never say gabagool. Like, it's very Americanized in ways.
Sorry, Chet, you say gabagool every fucking day.
Gabagool now here. I do.
When we started the Zoom chat, I said hi, Chet, and you said gabagool.
Gabagool to you and your family.
Yeah.
Here's my pitch to you though, Conchetta.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's 2021.
Mm.
It is 20 years or whatever after Sopranos was peaking in America.
Yeah.
Right? It's just 20 years is about enough time for Australia to, frankly, catch up to things other people are doing in the world.
Absolutely.
Should we do, in 2021,
oh my god,
Aussie Sopranos starring, oh my god, Conchetta Caristo?
I mean, that's the fucking dream of my life. And like... Oh, totally. It was the way I felt when I was like cast in the Looking for Ella Brandy 20 years since, like, stage. Just like, and I was like, yes.
Wait, are you in that?
Yeah, I was the girl. I was the main girl. But no, I just to your question, Hing, yes, it's definitely the thing of like parts that I couldn't relate to at all. But just, it's all about like the dynamics and the like traditions and the like the pressure and whatever, but everyone, I guess, has their own very unique little stories.
Well, I think Australian Sopranos is a good idea. I happen to know some people in TV, the guy who sold me my TV at JB Hi-Fi. We still talk, so...
And now, Chet, you can ask me a question about Mulan.
Do you have a dragon?
I do. I have a very small dragon. My dragon also does the voice of Eddie Murphy, but when he does it, it's kind of racist. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I've been meaning to tell you about... We need to cancel your dragon.
Do you guys want one last one to take us?
No, Michael, I don't think we have friggin' time for one last one.
Oh, shit. We have run out of time. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
So this has been a two-ad fucking episode. Woo. But what a delight it's been.
Mm-hmm. Conchetta Caristo, where can people find out more about what you do and your podcast?
Of course. So you can find me on Instagram at Conchetta Worldwide. I feel like, you know, you'll find the spelling or whatever. And then my podcast is called Big Natural Talents with my confidant and friend, Lauren Bonner. And yeah, that's just, I'm on Twitter, Conchetta Caristo. That's it, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Ben, what do you got coming up?
Nothing. Mm. I'm going back to work, so keep watching the stuff we're doing on the feed.
If people are interested in getting some tips on toilet training, though, potty training,
absolutely
in that regard.
But Michael, you have something very big to plug.
Yeah,
last night
I do.
It was a huge night for you.
Last night, we're recording this on Sunday morning. On Saturday night, the 2nd of October, I did some terrorism. I did a show that came out, Celebrity Letters and Numbers on SBS. It's at 7:30 on Saturday nights for the next 11 weeks, I think. There's 11 eps left. Can I tell you, this is like something of a career milestone to get a panel show, to be hosting it. That feels big.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were like, we should watch it together. And I was like, hey. Thanks, Mum and Dad. That's really lovely. Would love to do that with you. My parents, who have never approved of literally anything I've ever done career-wise. So we sat down on the couch. It was me. It was my grandmother. It was Hum. It was my mum. It was my dad. The iconic Letters and Numbers / Countdown Music Begins. I'm like, guys, it's starting. I'm like, wow. It cuts to me to say, hello and welcome to Celebrity Letters and Numbers. Before I finish that sentence, both my dad and my mum both exclaimed, oh, wow, you look really fat. And I was like, oh, I can't do this. I can't in a room.
Oh, my God.
So I went upstairs and I played some video games for an hour and have not watched the show. So,
oh my God.
You know, the way that they said it at the same time makes me feel like they planned it, which to me makes it about 1,000 times funnier.
100% they planned it.
Oh my God.
This is how my parents operate. I think they think it's very funny to do this. And to their credit.
Hey, fair play to them. Yeah. It is a bit.
Funny's funny.
They know.
Funny's funny.
You got to get it from somewhere, Michael. You know what I mean?
Anyway, so that's going to be coming up. Chet's on some episodes. Other friends of the show, people like Alex Lee, Carla Ritchie, are also doing episodes. I think next week Alex is on with Aaron Chen and Matt O'Khan, I think. So anyway, go watch that. It's on SBS On Demand. or if you're overseas and you'd like to view it piratedly, I could probably organize something for you.
So, okay.
Cool.
You know, well,
don't
no
hear that from the host of shows very often.
He's a man of the people.
Pirating it? I don't know. Yeah, I'll pirate it for some people. Just not everyone. Maybe I'll start up a Discord channel or something. I don't know.
All right. But this has been a delight. Thank you again to all our Patreon subscribers. We have a new episode for you up on the old Patreon where Hing talks about trying to buy a house.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that's been great. Chet, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was so fun.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. If you like pina coladas, get caught in the rain. If you're not.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.